Thanks for downloading this week's podcast of From the Top, NPR's radio showcase of America's best young classical musicians. I'm your host, Christopher O'Reilly, here with your weekly dose of inspiration. Enjoy.
All right, we're here to discuss for this podcast the fabulous Matthew Woodard.
Tom, yay, Matthew!
Yay for Matthew. Tom and Tom are here. I'm Tim Banker, co-producer of the show.
I'm Tom Vigneri. I'm the music producer.
And I'm Tom Vagley, producer of the show.
And we're all underemployed at the time, which is why the three of us are here to discuss Matthew.
Wait a minute. We're doing another show upstairs.
Okay,
fine. We're down in a basement recording this. We just got done with
basement.
A music rehearsal.
That's yeah. Right.
I mean, we're not underemployed. I'm speaking for myself. I'm fully employed. You may be.
Well, all right.
Incredibly underemployed.
And why are we so overemployed? It's because there's so many fantastic kids we're just fighting to keep up with.
Well, like Matthew Woodard.
Yeah.
How right. did you find him, Tom?
Matthew. Well, Matthew found us, I have
oh,
to say.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Actually, it's a funny story because...
Tom is responsible for finding the kids, among other things.
Actually, it's a bit of a shared thing because...
Yes, but... I'm giving you as much credit as I can.
I appreciate that. And believe me, I'm out there constantly digging my way to the surface of the pile of tapes and whatnot. Matthew is somebody that we knew, actually, because he'd applied to the show on a couple of occasions. Terrific young composer. Got our attention early. In a way, though, what sealed the deal had nothing to do with the office. It had to do with Tim Banker spending a little time in the woods in Western Mass. And a fantastic summer program, which Matthew happened to be playing.
Exactly. He went to the Greenwood Junior Music Camp, which is for 10 to 13-year-olds.
Oh,
and my gifted daughter.
Your fantastic
my
daughter.
My hugely gifted daughter.
So we booked him. It was nepotism.
It was complete nepotism.
Well, if this is all a roundabout way to
and
get
we're
to
And we're going to broadcast this on a podcast?
Yes, absolutely.
So anyway, I went to see their final...
I'm shocked. Go ahead.
I went to see their final concert, and what was it? And I actually saw Matthew as a performer. He played this incredible Shostakovich waltz. You're hearing it now. It was just, what was amazing about it is that he was so dramatic to watch. I didn't even know he was a composer at that point. And you could hear, like, the energy was really absolutely incredible. His hair was flying all over the place, which later became a theme. His floofy, soft hair became a theme in his appearance. And, it was very, very impressive just simply as a violinist.
So how did we find out he was a composer? He came...
No, we knew he was a composer because he had applied on a previous occasion. And we liked his music very much.
Yeah.
But to find out that he was also a dynamic and appealing performer and a kid, well, that really made us focus hard on who he was
right.
and put him on the show.
Right, so he came on. Now, he was humble about his composition.
That's right.
He knows that he's composing as a 13-year-old and that he has a long way to go and that he's not writing fully formed symphonies.
Vig, what did you think of, what about his composition psyched you up?
Yeah, Matthew, in particular in this instance, writing programmatic music, that is music written with a specific conceptual idea. These pieces called Le Printemps, meaning springtime, and Le Vent et la Vague, the wind and the waves, is writing conceptual music, and he's writing beyond themes. He's writing textures. He's writing colors.
Mm-hmm.
He's combining it. He's exploiting the instruments in a wonderfully imaginative way, and it all comes together in something that is greater than the sum of its parts, frankly. And it's the kind of thing that you recognize immediately as exceptional music and exceptional listening experience.
It's true, but let's talk about the sum of the parts that lead to the sum.
The poem, yeah, those things.
This piece, we teased him a lot about because
it
needed more
parts. Yes.
Well, it needed more parts because the original title for it, I don't know if we did name it this on the air.
Yeah, we did.
He insisted on still calling it Five Vignettes for Piano Trio, and then we were performing the trio was performing the first two movements, but he hadn't written the three last movements. So you can have fun with that. You know, how can you call it
yes.
five vignettes when there are only two.
Yeah.
When you've written the other three, come back.
Wishful thinking, basically.
But anyway.
But when we teased him about that, he had a great sense of humor about that, and he still insisted on saying that there were five vignettes.
He still called, yeah, I teased him mercilessly, just call it. Right. Vignettes for Piano Trio, but he did announce it as five vignettes.
He had a very one of the odd things about him too was that he kind of had a divided personality in the sense that there was an element of him I heard from my daughter at camp and from interviewing him too, really, really silly. He was like the absolute king of charades at the camp and was really loud and gregarious and kind of funny, I know, also with Lev Mamuya. That
right.
he was a serious troublemaker.
Right.
And then, so there's this really goofy side to him, very funny side to him, but then you talk to him about composition, he was really serious.
Hmm.
And he would talk really seriously about it.
In a really thoughtful and beautiful way.
In terms of wonderful humbleness, and this went to air, we had Emily Mayer, one of our roving reporters, interview him about composing and hearing it back on the computer.
So this is what your music actually sounds like when you finish putting it in the computer?
Yep, yeah. It's not as good as a real thing, but it's the closest you can get.
Now, did you actually compose all of this directly onto the computer?
No, when I compose, I sit at the piano and write everything out by hand, and it's not the most economical process, but it's good, and I feel sort of connected to my music, and I like the process.
So that sounds like it could be a little tedious. Do you enjoy it?
Well, not the writing down by hand. That's not too much fun. What's fun for me is thinking up the music and sort of getting it all together in my head before actually having to sit down and write it out as best I can.
So we're about to hear your vignettes for Piano Trio played. Do you get to hear your music played like that a lot?
No, it's really difficult, especially as a young composer, to get music played and get it played well. But when it does and when it's played very well, it's wonderful.
Now, I hear you're a violinist yourself. Are you ever tempted to sit down and play your own pieces?
I've always been very... really not wanted to play my own music. It's hard to pinpoint why, but probably just stems from the fact that, as a composer and playing my own music, it's almost as if I'm expected to bring in my own, the exact way I imagine it, and being a musician and not an exceptionally talented one at that, I don't think I'd be able to do that. And on some level in my mind, I don't think I'd be able to fill those expectations that I set for myself in it. I'd get very frustrated. I've tried before and it's not fun. I just enjoy listening to other people and what they do with it.
He was part of our Young Composer Project. Do you want to, Tom, talk about what that is?
Yeah, the Young Composer Project is where kids who are identified as exceptional young promising composers come on the show. They get to hear their music realized by some of the most exceptional young performers out there across the land, and on top of which we pair them with a mentor, and they get to have a quite a long and meaningful session with one of the established composers in the country today, and which is a tremendous opportunity for a 10 or 12 or 14 year old young person to suddenly be in the company of a John Harbison or Libby Larson, or Osvaldo Golihov.
So who did Matthew get paired with? I don't remember.
Matthew hasn't been paired.
Oh, he hasn't been paired yet.
Actually, okay. Matthew really wants to work with Peter Schickley.
Huh?
Which is really terrific. And that's the kind of opportunity that some of these kids get to have on the show, which is really fantastic for young composers.
All right, I think it's time that we actually hear the show.
It's such fantastic music, I think we should go right to it.
Let's do it.
So, Matt, should we give the kids a chance to play your piece? We'll bring them out on stage?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Sounds good. From all around New York City, we have 12-year-old Anna Lee on violin. Our cellist is 13-year-old Taeguk Moon. Our pianist is 11-year-old Alice Berla. They're all students at the Juilliard Prep Division. Please welcome the Maggiore Trio.
For more performances and stories from America's best young classical musicians, tune in to our weekly NPR radio show. Visit fromthetop.npr.org for stations broadcasting From the Top near you. From the Top is a unique nonprofit organization that's independent of the radio stations that carry our show. Join us in celebrating the passion and dedication of our outstanding young musicians by making a gift to From the Top on our website, fromthetop.org.